But let's go on, shall we? Remember, just catching up our thoughts. Jesus said, don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? He challenged them because they didn't. At this late time, after being disciples for 3 years and call them apostles, as the synoptic gospels do, but John never, he realized he wasn't really an apostle except by name during this period, and neither were any other of them. Apostles don't talk about calling down fire from heaven to destroy whole villages or anything like that. Here then is the main truth. The Father was in him, and he was in the Father while he walked on the earth. You must understand that if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. For you remember, Lord, down in this chapter, he says, I'll pray the Father, he will give you another comforter. Now, if I have a mic here, or whatever we want to call it, and I put it down there, I said, now I'll give you another. That's two. For in the 15th chapter, he says, I'm with you all the time. I'm with you always. This is the great mystery of the Trinity. When Jesus was on earth, so was the Holy Ghost, so was the Father. And he said, that to remind you where we left off, this isn't me doing the work, it's my Father. It isn't me that's speaking to you, it's my Father. What a marvelous thing this blessed revelation is. Because you will know that the last thing those 12 men wanted, he got rid of the traitor by now, Judas. There are only 11. The last thing those 11 people wanted was that Jesus should go away. Who's going to care for us? Who's going to shepherd us? They never thought in these terms, or at least if they did, they never expressed it. Here then is the great truth. Who's going to be like you to us, Lord? Will there be another man on whose breast I can lay my head? What's going to happen to us? Well, he's told them, really, love one another. He's told them. The mysteries that are wrapped up in Christ's words, even though they be plain. I was going to say plain English, excuse me, all you people from other lands. They didn't know. They didn't really know what faith was. As Jesus taught them, say Luke, who records, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could do this, you could do that. You see? Beloved, there is another life. Really, it translates you into another world where God is all. And that's how it has to be with each one of us. Let's go on. Verily, verse 12, chapter 14, verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask, you ask now. You take this deeply into your heart. It'll explain why there are so many unanswered prayers. I know people get around saying, well, it's just he always answers. Sometimes he says no. That kind of insane. Whatsoever, I'll never say no to you. If you shall ask anything in my name, but you have to be in his name. You have to be Christ's representative on earth. Just bear it. You would come into this upper room with me. This is where he said it. He didn't tell anybody out there about that. He told them, I want you to be true men of God. You see, I want you to be God-possessed. What he died for. And that's why he wouldn't let Peter go with him. He says, you can't follow me now. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he went and prepared the cross. For Peter couldn't atone for his sin. Nor can you. Nor can I. But he prepared the cross for you. Don't you think, like I've heard something, he's building little places up in heaven for you. No, he was a carpenter, but he's not engaged in that now. You understand it? Oh, beloved, don't you want to be in that place that he has for you? They might call you a missionary, might call you a pastor, might call you a something or something or something. Those sort of names aren't known in heaven. That's earth's convenience. You and I are to know this great secret to which he took these people into that unknown room where nobody else knew. And from it dismissed the traitor. You're either a traitorous spirit or you are a teachable spirit. You understand? And if you aren't teachable, you are a traitor. Though you may sing about Jesus at least every Sunday. This is the thing for us to understand. Do you know, I don't believe Jesus ever sung choruses. Nor taught his disciples. Oh, come, bring your guitars. Now leave your dogs at home. And all that business. And they weren't sitting on clouds playing harps. He got them into that upper room to teach them reality. Nothing wrong with any musical instrument except. Except I believe that some lend themselves to worship. Nothing wrong in any because they can't play themselves. You play, and I listen to you playing your guitar, or I listen to you blowing your trumpet. Sorry, I don't mean it in a nasty way. Or playing the piano. I know who's playing the piano. So, well, I always play that. Exactly, of course. But I hear your spirit coming through a piano or a guitar. You're alive unto God. You'll know just where it's coming from. I play a xylophone or whatever you want to do. Instruments are what you make them. They can be a place of show off. And I read you as plain as I read this Bible. You understand these things? Everything can be adapted unto God's use. But beware. I gave up a musical career. I could have had one. You'd never believe it, but I hold still a couple of, shall I say, well, Royal Academy certificates of violin player. Now, you would never have thought that, would you? Listen to God. You are the instrument. You. And so you use other instruments, man-made. But what for? Here then is the glory that we understand you and my life are so short on this earth. If we don't live every minute, conscious minute, for God, we could be, if God was an accuser, accused of wasting God's time. You didn't invent time, God did. It's his. It's very important for us to understand. Very. So I hope you're not dreaming in this class this morning. We are going to see what God says. If, verse 15, I must get through this chapter this morning. Sorry, I've got to skim along. I should only get about halfway through it, really, but time is an enemy. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. There you are. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the comforter. Another comforter. I've been comforting you all your life. I came and healed your mother-in-law, Peter, right at the beginning. There you are. How about that bolt when they were thrust into pandemonium just by the blowing of a wind and the rising of the waters, and Jesus said to them, after he went to sleep on a pillow, and they were sailing this boat and couldn't sail it. The waters had overcome them. The wind had overcome them. Fear had overcome them. And Jesus was asleep. Don't they care what's happening? Do you know the great mistake they made? They should have taken a pillow and laid down beside him. Say, what? Oh, that's the kind of behavior God's expecting from you. If you say you're one of his children. He doesn't beget foreigners. They're all in one family. That's it. Don't you see? They should never have done that. Of course they were in extremis, really. They were at their wits' end. They didn't know what to do, where to go, all their skills, all their strength, wasted. Couldn't do a thing. And he took one step across the boat and said, be muzzled. That's the word he used, peace. Be muzzled. And the howling wind stopped howling. And there was a great calm. And they were more afraid of that than they were of the storm, because they said, what manner of man have we got here with us? Oh. Well, what manner of man or woman are you? That's what it's about. That's what the new birth is about. To make you a new woman. A new womanhood. A new manhood. It's so tremendous. But he says, I'll pray, Father, and you'll be here. I'll pray for another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Just think of that. I have my own comforter inside. God's comforter, of course, the Holy Ghost is my comforter. You see, the one thing Jesus could not do when he was on earth, and one of the great reasons he went to the cross, he could not get inside them and live in them. That's what the Holy Ghost is about. He was going to come and be another comforter inside them. If you like, they in the plan of God, I'm sure he'll excuse me using my stupid language, as long as the truth comes over to you, they were to be on earth as the reception committee to receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, the reception. You will have a comforter just like me. And he's going to live in you. Live in you. He's going to exterminate that old wicked sinful self. Kill it, stone dead. That's what Paul meant when he said, I die daily. He said, whatever does that mean? Do you know, I went to America as I was invited to teach in a college, had a spell, I was only I don't know how long. And the principal of the college came to me and said, I'd like to talk to you, Brother North. So we had a talk. He said, I only just come, and he was he was well on in years. I've only just come to see what Paul meant when he wrote, I die daily. That's the self that has to die every day. You, nice as you are, pretty as you are, handsome as you are, accomplished as you are, no good to God. And it's that real self, the real me, and my accomplishments that go to my credit has to die daily. So he went through death and resurrection daily. Think that one over. And then he went to fight with the beasts all around him. I'm quoting from 1 Corinthians 15. You have to see this, beloved, what it's all about. It's Paul is the great exemplar of it all. And once we see these things, we are transformed. The old whining, moaning self, he'll be resurrected every day in you. If you manage some sort of an accomplishment to defeat him today, he'll be there tomorrow. You really have to be dead, crucified with Christ, and listen, buried. Is the past buried? You that made your past, thanks God it is past. You made it. You were probably helped to make it by your very parents. We're living in an age where you count. At least to the people who've got anything to sell. You know, the prime teaching of a salesman or saleswoman, the first thing they have to learn is they must sell themselves first. Then they'll sell them their goods. Do you see? That's psychology. It's not spirituality. It's the direct opposite. So don't envy these flashing creatures you see on your television screens, will you? They're totally deceived. These are the tremendous things for you to see. This is where Jesus gave his greatest teaching. In that upper room. You should live in it. Live there if you care. How about a restless creature? We know, need to know about creation. Oh, yes. Once told about creation, that should satisfy you. You don't go ogling round to find a new dinosaur. Here's the master, the wonderful thing. I will not leave you as an orphan. So, comfortless, I will comfort you. Do you know that's Jesus' great present ambition, if I may use, for you, that he should come and being in you should become the new you in you. Christ in me. I have no hope of glory unless he is in me. But I believe. Well, that's only the first step. There's an end in view. And it is, and this is what God wants to see, that every time he looks at your pretty or handsome face, he sees Christ in you. That's what the Father wants. Oh, but I'm a Christian. Are you? By whose standards? Here then are the things that we've got to learn. I will come to. He didn't want to come to heaven, except the heaven he creates in you. And that's what he'll do if you let him. If it isn't heaven in you, he won't live in you. You say, yeah. You just have to accept what I say, I suppose, because I'm the lecturer and you're the student or something like that. But you think about it. That's right. You think about it. The only one who can create heaven is God. No one else can. How marvelous it is for us to see. But it isn't heaven on earth, you must understand that. So you'll meet earth's problems, and you'll meet earth's difficulties, and you'll meet earth's oppositions, and you'll meet earth's temptations. That's why he had to be tempted at all points, just the same as we are. So that he's not a phony saviour. This is the whole glorious truth. I will not leave you orphans, he says. I'll come. And he says, this is him. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live. You shall live also. Be careful how you read the Bible, study it. Don't say, well, because I live, you shall live also. You see, it's true, of course. Men usually get hold of the least meaning. We learn as we go on. This is when you shall live. And I'm promising you that you will live as I live. And that is the ultimate fulfillment of the promise. We're still on the earth, but you have to live the heavenly life. We're still human, but you have to live the life of that one who became a human in order that you would become a human being. Oh, if we get that through our parents. No, you don't. Your parents were all fallen in sin, like the rest of everybody else. You get a kind of a humanity, but we've all been robbed of the true life of humanity, and we were robbed by Adam. Sold down the river. This is why God has mercy upon us all, and pities us, and loves us and has sent us a gospel in the person and the mouth and the deeds of his Son. How wonderful it is, beloved. You see me now. Do you see him or do you not? Or do you see the Christian myth? You know what I mean by that. Do you know when Paul stood before the judge? There were two judges, actually. When Agrippa called out and said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And he said, "No, I don't want you to be a Christian. Excuse me." He said, "You were not just only, but altogether such as I am." You've got to get this "I am" into your testimony. Accept these bonds. Hey, what? He got the life. He got the Christ. He got the gospel. He was living it. And that's the only way you can preach it, unless you can go to a Bible school and learn how to preach. And that's all you do know. No, I'm not accusing anyone. I'm speaking the general truth of God. Here is the great thing. And now listen to this. "At that day you shall know that I..." Now the word "am" is not in the Greek to know a different self than yourself. "You shall know that I in my Father." That's what Jesus knew. He knew that eternally existent "I am." And he lived in his Father. Then he deigned, may I say, or shall I say graciously, took flesh. Amen. And one of Paul's great testimonies was this: "I am." Paul's, don't gabble it through. "I am what I am by the grace of God." Now that's what you have to be. And I want to tell you, that's all you can be. "I am what I am." Only one letter removed from the statement of God right out of the bush. He said, "I am that I am." Paul said, "I am what I am." The "I am" in Moses then, still is now, was uncreated. You and I were born. Now you are creating something in you. A great big liar, damned to hell. Or else one who can say, "I've got the truth." This is the solemnity of it, beloved. You should never go into this upper room if you don't want to learn the truth. That's why he excluded all the crowd. I said they wouldn't have understood anything he was talking about. So we're right back into science now, aren't we? Well, scientist language. This great "I am." I was once in prison. I told you this before. And I met a man. No, it wasn't in prison. Sorry. When I'd come up. And I met this man, and he said, he was one of these real modern evening sort of top universities. Not these red brick ones, the real old universities. He'd been through it. And he said, "The only thing I know is that I am." He said, "I don't know that you are." You see, what a stupid place he'd got himself into. by his brains. He'd been reading somebody's philosophy. Do you see? But you have got to know that I am. Not to take anything from God, but say it in worship and in praise of him, because you have been recreated. And you didn't come out to back a white cow. You have to understand this, beloved, and you are responsible. And I am responsible to tell you. Oh, I'm never going to finish this chapter this morning, but doesn't matter. What next year if the Lord doesn't come? Here's the thing for us to see. Of course, you won't want to listen to me then. Here's the truth. At that day you shall know that I, in my Father, that I, from which he moves. He has to say, I am, to make it logical and understand to us. Understandable to us, that I, from that blessed God, the eternal I, not the mere selfish I. Hasn't he come to share heaven with us through Christ? All that I have is thine, said a wise man of the Old Testament. All that I have. You say what? Flesh and blood, yeah. Sight, hearing, taste, my artistic nature, and I don't know what you want to go through. All comes from me. I'm talking about dear old Solomon. This is the whole thing, and he said, the very heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. He was too big for heaven. He created an earth. All these marvelous things, beloved. This is our God. You love him? Now you have all that potential in you, but don't rob God of his position. I don't mean that. He deliberately sent his son to share it with you. You don't know the concept that lies ahead. I'm rather looking ahead, but I'm not going to commit suicide to get there. You understand. I'm old enough to be concerned a little bit now. When you're young, you don't always think like this. But it's the duty, and I may say privilege, of people of my age to pass it on. And that's your responsibility in this world, you understand? Because you won't be able to preach like me. I'm not boasting about preaching. I mean, you need years of Bible study. You need these years. You will be, and better still, I hope. This is what the glory of it all is. Let me quote the epistle again. Grow. And you can only grow in grace. You get out of grace. I mean personal grace. No, I must be a gracious man. You understand? You'll never grow except worse and worse, harder and harder, and get a head that's bigger than your body. You understand? You'll know that I in my Father and you in me. Well, I believe I'm in him. No, you have to know, he said. He didn't say you believe. Don't transpose the words. You start by believing, but then you get to knowing. And when you know you're really secure, you pass into the security of what you first believed. I was thinking of Wesley this morning. That wonderful confession of his in Aldersgate in London, where we read in Luther's preface to the Galatian epistle, he came out and said, "My heart was strangely warmed, and I felt I knew." Now you will always feel, you know, when you're captivated by God. Always. Not a tentative, well, I think I'm aware. And it's where the great minister came from, this absolute certainty. When with my heart I first believed, he put it in some of the hymns. Believe by power divine. God will strengthen you to believe. If you try some trick in order to believe, you'll get a misexplained so much that's in so-called churches. It's got to come from God. Hallelujah. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And said, "Well, I believe that." You know, said, "Brother, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." But I never preach it as an invitation. I preach it as a command. Do you? So your God invites us all to come. God gives you the command to come. And if you don't, you're a sinner. I don't believe like so many who think it is an invitation. You can couch it by the tone of your voice in exactly what you think it means. That's what the tone of voice is given to you for. Come unto me. Perhaps you don't take orders from God. You just want a nice happy God that can invite you to join in all the wonders of heaven and all this business. It's lovely, it's nice. You want to receive an invitation card where it says on the bottom, RSVP. You know what that means, don't you? Responsible play. Please say whether you're coming or whether you aren't. That's what we like. That treats us as human beings. We are. The human being you ought to be is a tiny replica of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you've got to have his commandments, what he has commanded. He is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou shalt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father," now listen, "only if you keep his words. And my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now that's marvelous. What he has virtually said, we'll all come. I'm going to give you another comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. He said that I'll come and my Father will come. We'll have a wonderful time in you. And the joy of it will spill over into your life. He didn't say that. What else can it mean? We're all going to come. We, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, want to live in you. That's what the day of Pentecost really means. Just to make you speak in another tongue, which I do. I do. But that's not the important thing. You should read this these chapters through again and again and again, and make sure that by His grace you master, that is, in your understanding, the things that are being said. The great accusation against Christians in general is that they skim over the surface all the time, just to read their portion for the day. Oh, it's a good thing. Don't stop. Don't stop. I could wash myself in milk, but I prefer to put it in my mouth. Do you understand? Here we go. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine. Her father was talking to them. Are you listening? You say it was Jesus talking in the upper room. Same thing. Father was talking to them. And in his heart, the father had slain Jesus from the foundation of the world. So this Bible says, he's talking to me. This great I am. It's the interplay of Scripture. One part commenting on the other, really, without our minds understanding it at first. Here it is. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So sometimes when you say, oh, Jesus do this, or Jesus do this, the Holy Ghost does it. It's the Holy Ghost. He's come to you from the Father, and he is sending him in the name of Jesus, because he's exactly like him. Like Jesus was exactly like the Father in a human form. And we have to avoid patropassianism. I suppose you've learned all that, haven't you? Have you been taught doctrine? Well, patropassianism is a heresy from the past, because they said it was the Father died on the cross. But you needn't bother your head with that. Here's the big thing for you to see. In fact, it tells you Scripture that the Father forsook Jesus. Or God did, anyway. Forsook him on the cross. He that loveth me not, and I've said all these things before, the Holy Ghost will come, verse 26, in Father's name, he'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. You don't know, I rely on that. I can't preach if God doesn't bring it to my remembrance. I don't rely on notes. Pardon?
I need to take Rita, because the home next door thing.
Goodbye, Rita.
Sorry.
Come again tomorrow and listen to this gentleman. Bye-bye. It's all right. So I thought someone was talking to me. It's a... I rely on that, that he will bring to me, mine remembrance, all the things he hath said unto me. I don't want so much what man has said unto me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And their minds must have gone back to the incident on the lake when he said, peace. It must have gone back to there. My peace I give unto you. You will know that if you claim to be a spirit-filled Christian, that's what I shall expect to find in you. You will be a peaceful person. That's what decided me against becoming a soldier. Because they are for war. Of whatever kind you call it. Here it is, he said, I leave it with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Because you know lots of people that you're perhaps reckoned to be live at peace with, men with their wives, for instance, or vice versa. He said, yeah, I'll leave my peace with you. Don't you make any excuses. I said, well, it was his fault, well, it was her fault. Think of the peace in which Jesus lived. Lovely, isn't it? You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come to you. You've got come again, but you better get the idea, he goes away and comes. He didn't come again in a manger. He came again into those that had decided to do away with themselves, if you like, commit suicide, go to the cross and die. But you say, well, that's the one death you cannot commit. You can electrify yourself, you can cut your own throat, you can do everything else, take poison if you want, but you can't crucify yourself, you see. You can't. But God will crucify you. Oh, it's a marvelous crucifixion. Now, don't get it all wrong. Nothing to do with a Via Dolorosa or anything like that. He doesn't crucify me today. He did it in Christ. And this is what faith is. It carries me, if you like, back to the cross, but most of us, it's on to the cross. All right. It was done, friend. You have no right to be breathing one breath on this earth. It has to be him in you. The Christ, the crucified Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I wish you could call me bloodthirsty. I wish I could crucify every one of you. If you aren't already crucified. This awful self. This self-promoting self. This self-glorying self. This traditionally unbelieving self, or begrudgingly believing, God. I tell you, it's all done if you'll agree to be buried with him. I heard a man say once, of someone else he was speaking, he said, the trouble with him, he's never been to his own funeral. It's funny, isn't it? It's very witty, isn't it? Lovely. Perhaps you might say that about me. But let's go on, shall we? I leave you my peace. I will go away and come unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Because I said I go unto my Father, and for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass that when it is come to pass you might believe hereafter. I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, you know that's the devil, don't you, and hath nothing in thee. That's tremendous, isn't it? You know what salesmen do? They use sort of, whether they do it or not, they knock at your door, ring the bell, you go to the door, and they start to, and you'll find they've got their foot in the door, just over the sill, so as you can't shut it. Devil couldn't do that with Jesus. Anyway, he's not selling himself. He's giving you himself, if you will have him. As my Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Rise. Let's go hence. I would normally say to be continued in the morning, but our brother's going to continue. And he represents a man. He represents the society, not just a man. Worldwide, and I knew the former secretary, and he was very dear to me, stayed often in Bulstrode and in the home, or whatever you want to call it, the flat of Lynn Moles and his wife. I lay on the floor with them once up in the place where I was working then. Were they seeking the Holy Ghost in a big way? Hallelujah. I honor them and the society. So you listen, beloved. You listen. Good day.